Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Adolescence and young adulthood are the stages in life when the prefrontal cortex fully develops. And that's the part of the brain that manages our higher order thinking, sometimes called our executive functions. So, why the heck aren't we teaching it to our kids? Well, we'll talk about this and more on this week's podcast. Want a happy, successful kid? Help them grow. The Big Five. It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to help you get that enjoyable family you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We'll all benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and enter it there today. And while you're there, download a free copy of my parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast, not a substitute for therapy when you need it. Well, as you may know by now, I work to find ways to help families avoid or end control battles. And control battles are stressful, they lead to parental burnout, and they interfere with child, adolescent, and young adult development. In fact, I wrote a book about it with lots of ideas on how to avoid and end control battles. Well, I just previewed a book that's due out November 20th, written by my esteemed colleague, Dr. Laura Hannes-Webb, author of several books on the subject of ADHD, and her latest book is on how to improve one's executive functioning. It's called Brain Hacks, 50 Strategies and Tips to Improve Executive Functioning. Get organized, work smarter, and stay cool under pressure. Well, I was honored to be selected as an early reviewer, but honestly, I thought I was going into your basic how-to book. Certain it would be decent, but how inspiring could a book on improving executive functioning be? I do have ADHD and dyslexia, and for the most part, I've figured out how to be productive and successful in life, but thought, what the heck? I could benefit from reading it. Well, man, did I ever. The sense of empowerment and motivation I gained is amazing. I actually feel less burdened and happier. But more than that, it gave me a powerful tool to help my families with, and I'm going to share that tool with you today. Well, let's think about this for a second. What are the kinds of fights and arguments that parents and kids get into? Not keeping track of schoolwork, getting home without the right materials, not knowing what the assignment is, lots of zeros in the teacher's book, not staying focused on the work and watching videos instead, kids getting upset with parents when they hear the word no, kids feeling too anxious or depressed to fulfill responsibilities or take tests or perhaps even go to school. Out of control, messy rooms with old food on plates and clean clothes and dirty clothes mixed up on the floor. Poor eating habits, perhaps creating real medical issues. Kids being upset when they learn that there is a family event that is superseding their plans to hang out with friends. Serial bad choices, such as smoking marijuana when they're allowed to go out on the basis that they wouldn't be. Getting into a car with someone under the influence. Each one of these issues can be fuel for control battles, and every one of these behaviors reflects a lack of executive function. So what exactly is executive function? Well, I'm going to quote from Brain Hacks here. Executive functioning describes the cluster of advanced cognitive skills, including working memory, organization, an emotional control that acts as your command center as you navigate all the complicated tasks of daily life. Simply put, it comprises the thinking skills that allows you to be the boss of your life. It affects your ability to stay focused, plan ahead and organize, resist temptations, and stop something once you've started it. It also includes emotional regulation and the ability to make transitions and solve problems with flexibility. That's the end of the quote. So these skills are associated with the prefrontal cortex, and this part of the brain is the last part of the brain to develop, and it grows during adolescence and young adulthood. In fact, our executive function grows and develops into our mid-20s. So the mistakes that our teenagers and young adults make should be no surprise, because they reflect a lack of mastery of executive functions. Well, Brain Hacks lays out what executive function is so clearly with great examples, and then offers specific proven techniques to build and improve executive function in all of what Dr. Lara calls the big five areas. And here are the big five: attention and focus, planning and organization, cognitive flexibility, emotional regulation, and impulse control. Dr. Lara explains that the big five are interconnected, so making improvements in one area will benefit the other areas. Central to the idea of improving ourselves is the concept of neuroplasticity. All right, so what's that? It is, and this is big, it's the brain's ability to change throughout a person's life. So nothing about your brain is actually set in stone. You can change it as a result of the activities you engage in. So if we have goals, things we want to get better or good at, small repeated efforts over time will get big results. And this ability to actually change our brains means that if we are without skill in some areas, if we put our effort into it, we can get better. And knowing that and living that is what Dr. Lara refers to as a growth mindset. And of course, she gets that from the research and work of Dr. Carol Dweck. Individuals with a growth mindset are happier and more successful than people who think that if they are poor at something today, that simply is that their intelligence and their skill set is fixed. So teaching our kids a growth mindset is the number one thing we can give them during their childhoods and their adolescence. That way, they're prepared to take on any of life's challenges. Yet we can develop a growth mindset at any age. This means that we can improve our executive function and we can help our kids grow and develop theirs. Now, Dr. Lara's book is written for adults like you and me, and the examples are of adults. But since, in addition to working with adults and often couples, I work with a lot of families, particularly families with teenagers and young adults, it came to me very clearly as I read Brain Hacks that every one of those challenging behaviors our kids are presenting is an opportunity to help them grow their executive function. You know how in schools they often have signs on the walls that articulate values? You'll see responsibility, kindness, honesty, respect, as, you know, just these value signs that are up, whatever they're focusing on. And often, parents have values discussions with their kids. They talk about helping out, contributing, being nicer to their sibling, being more responsible, etc. Why don't we have discussions in school and at home about the big five executive functions? Not from the standpoint of your organization and planning are terrible, young man, but from the point of view that any problem behavior reflects an opportunity to improve and grow our executive function in some specific area or areas. Let me give you an example of how I'm now using this concept. A mom and a dad came in with their son, a high school sophomore who wanted to quit his high school and go to a continuation school. Why? Well, he didn't make the baseball team, and that was what he really loved. And that's where his friends are, and now he's on the outside of that crowd. Also, he found himself needing to work harder to keep up where he didn't have to so much before. So with low social support and work getting harder, his motivation was low and he couldn't get himself to feel good about going to school. His mom and dad were concerned that he was depressed and wondered if he needed therapy for depression, and they wanted me to help them make a decision about whether he should leave school and go to a continuation school or not. So going to school or changing schools was starting to be a constant fight at home for this family. So I could see that this kid had a load of talent. For one, he was clearly a natural athlete. He mastered any activity he tried, including snowboarding, skateboarding, unicycling. He had excellent verbal skills. He was able to describe his feelings and share his thoughts at a very advanced level. In fact, his communication skills were maybe even better than his parents, which made for extended arguments. Seeing his intelligence in this area and the fact that he had done well with a basic effort to this point, I was curious about his struggle with the work, and further discussion indicated the likelihood of undiagnosed learning disabilities. Well, I explained to this young man that I understood that he was up against some challenges that were causing him to want to back down. Then I shared how impressed I was with his natural gifts and explained that I absolutely did not want to see him back down from these challenges. I explained about learning disabilities and how once they have them assessed, he can get support for his learning style or learning needs and even improve those areas that aren't working for him. Clearly, he was a bright, good, and engaging kid, and I had no doubt that if he could make new friends or find ways to connect with his old friends with an attitude shift. The point was that he had some life challenges right now, but with building his executive functions, he could address them. I shared the big five with the family, and we talked about which ones relate to his situation. Well, we agreed that emotional management and cognitive flexibility were most relevant here, and that by working on improving those areas, he was investing himself in a way that would make him a stronger, more confident, more resilient person. And if we give into the stresses of his current situation, he'd be losing out on that opportunity. In another session, mom and her 14-year-old son came in for their weekly appointment. It was scheduled at a different time than usual, and our 14-year-old was beside himself that he wasn't at home playing a video game with his online gaming friends like he had planned. His mother tried to calm him down. She talked about the importance of the counseling. I talked about how common it is to have to do things that we don't want to do. But for everything we said, he had an emotional and angry response. Why do I need to go to counseling anyway? This is stupid. My friends don't have to go to counseling. They get to play as much video games as they want. And I could see that there was nothing to be gained by trying to convince him of anything. So I turned towards mom, and I talked about how things were going in general, and she reported pretty well overall. She saw improvement, and they had had a good week up until now, and he had been very cooperative. I knew they had chaotic lives, so I asked about how they do dinner together, and mom said, well, they usually do takeout or stop at the taco stand. She explained that she needs to bring work home, so between helping her son with homework and doing her own work, there was really little time for a whole dinner preparation. She said often on the weekends, however, she makes a pot of chili because that's something he always likes. And curiously, right then her son started to laugh. Then he admitted that he doesn't really like chili much. He just said he did because he knew his sister hates it. And it was his way of having mom make something his sister hates. He laughed, mom laughed, and I joined them with my laughing too. He was suffering just to make his sister suffer more. Now, how stupid was that? Well, I chose to ignore the issue of the hurtful behavior towards his sister, but focused on how his mood changed from miserable and angry to laughing and feeling better. How did that happen? He said when he thought about how stupid the whole thing was and how Mom thought she was cooking something he really liked, it just made him laugh. He thought about something funny, and that made his frustration and disappointment of having to go to counseling less upsetting. We wrote the Big Five on the whiteboard and talked with him about how he can use that skill and other ones to continue to invest in himself. And we congratulated him on using a skill to change how he feels. So here is what I'm suggesting. Let's make growing and improving our executive functions a family affair. As parents, let's model it and be public about our areas of opportunity and always have some area we're working on for ourselves. So for instance, if you have the habit of getting upset with your kids when they don't respond to your requests, make it public that you need to manage your emotions better when you don't get the response you're looking for. Or take up watercolor painting, tennis or flute lessons, something you've always wanted to do but never thought you could. Something you will need to take a while to build skill at. Now you're modeling a growth mindset and cognitive flexibility, and by modeling it, your kids will see it as a normal part of life. And they'll be much more inclined to put themselves at the bottom of a learning curve as well. And besides that, you're going to like it too. Let's put a chart up on the wall someplace that lists the Big Five. Then, when there are behaviors, your teenagers or young adults or even your preteens need to work on, talk about which of the Big Five they can work on and invite them to build a strategy using Dr. Lara's book. And of course, when they are doing well, do not miss the opportunity to talk about how well they are growing their specific executive function in that area. The subject of growing ourselves by growing our Big Five should be a regular part of our conversation with our kids. The untapped potential of this concept is profound. Well, now I've got my notebook with me and areas of my life, especially organizational issues, that are on an improvement plan. And I'm having more fun. With her encouragement, I'm doing more fun, spontaneous things, and they're making me feel free and happy. And when Dr. Lara's book comes out in November, I'm going to get myself two copies, one for the nightstand and one for the office. How many are you going to get? Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone, and special thanks to Dr. Lara Hannes-Webb for her expertise shared in her upcoming book, Brain Hacks, 50 Strategies and Tips to Improve Executive Functioning, Get Organized, Work Smarter, and Stay Cool Under Pressure. It's not out just yet, and don't confuse it with other titles that start with Brain Hacks. Hers is the only one written by an expert in the field. We should be able to pre-order it soon. And I'd like to remind you all, too, please take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenteen Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.